Miss Jenkins says she is afraid of you. You are obsessive, aggressive, and unpredictable, showing no regard for the emotional needs of your child or her mother.
Oh, that's not true.
No?
Times the police were called, Miss Green never had one mark on her and always had me to add the cut because I would not smack her back. I would not hit her back purely and simply because she was a woman.
Do you think that there is a level of domestic violence complaints by women that are untrue?
Yes, it's been hugely abused. It was particularly obvious in Canada. I was there for 6 weeks with Senator Ann Cools, and we travelled all the way across Canada, and we were looking at what they called in the refuges. First step is called hoovering. He comes home from work and finds that she's taken the children and everything she can lay hands on has moved into a local refuge, and he won't be able to find her because no one will tell her where she's gone. And then she instigates, because what happened is domestic violence has become a fast track to divorce. An awful lot of solicitors internationally will say to women, claim that he hit you because this means that you'll get everything.
Your husband, on a prior occasion, had slapped you, beat you. I think that word is not inappropriate. Let me finish, please. I'm not concerned with who slapped whom first. Your husband, who had beaten you repeatedly.
No,
please.
He never...
Repeatedly.
And then the second thing, if that doesn't work fast enough, they call it the silver bullet in Canada. That means that she claims that he's molested the children. And that means that he is immediately then barred from everything and the divorce goes straight through and he loses his children and he will never see them again.
Well, I know that I had to answer a lot of accusations that were untrue about domestic violence, about... my kids are scared of me, about beating my kids up, which were totally fabricated. But I felt that the courts looked upon me as that person. It was just general accusations, punching her 4 times at the top of the stairs, then actually throwing her down the stairs. One of the accusations was that she rolled over while I threw her down the stairs 4 times, yet she managed to get up, drive away, and had no marks on her, never went to the police, which was laughable to a degree, but when it's actually levelled against you, it ain't laughable. It's pretty damn frightening.
The increasingly wide and increasingly shallow definitions all serve to inflate the statistics against men. All men are guilty. Basically, anything a man says or does that could conceivably upset a woman is now, officially, domestic violence. But most of these behaviours, when they occur in an intimate relationship, are not considered crimes of violence by those involved. But this is silly. By Harriet Harman's definition, this is a sexual assault.
So it kind of makes for an exciting life, I suppose.
Well, let's say I'm asleep, and my wife needs some cash, so she takes £10 from my wallet without my knowledge. Well, I suppose that's technically theft. I don't regard it as a crime. I won't be calling the police about it. In the context of the relationship, it's not a crime, when otherwise it obviously would be. I'd like to ask Miss Harman, should I regard this like theft by a stranger in the street? Should the police prosecute my wife for theft, despite my objection that it wasn't a crime? Should they dust my wallet for fingerprints? Should she spend a night in a jail cell? There is such a serious lack of intellectual rigour in the arguments from Harriet Harman, and similar statements by Baroness Scotland, that I wonder at their senior positions at the Home Office. How did these two women achieve these positions with such a demonstrable lack of intelligence? Is this a consequence of women-only shortlists and other affirmative action for female politicians?
And in order to allow progress on women's representation in the House to continue, we'll extend the permission for all women shortlists for parliamentary selection until 2030.
I'm also concerned about women-only lists for Parliament, because effectively, if you get a woman that comes from a female-only list in Parliament, you're going to get substandard people.
Domestic violence was very low priority for the police, and these are some of the reasons why. One of our top police officers in the country in the 80s was saying stray dogs and domestic violence are rubbish work for police officers.
That policeman is absolutely right in what he said. Domestic violence should not be a police matter. But his personal opinion is at odds with the ambitions of the police force as a whole. It is in the police's interest to open up private intimate relationships as a criminal arena. The police want this new area of crime, for the same reason that a business wants to open up a new market. It leads to a lot more money. They want to get past the front door that used to be a social barrier to their power and influence, and invade our private lives.
We can't just go barging into people's apartments. Sadly, we're the police, not the dating police.
I also think the police have got nothing better to do. My own belief, 12 policemen turning up to arrest Pete Townsend for his alleged child pornography. Why? They've got nothing better to do. I mean, what do they spend their time doing? Much of the time they have spent in the past chasing around innocuous pot smokers. We have them attending, apparently, so they tell us, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of domestic violence incidents every, I think there are 1,200 a day in this country. Goodness knows how many meetings they have with their politically correct masters to discuss policies and so on. They can afford to have 12 men going around to Pete Townsend. What are they doing? They're over-resourced is the ask.
There are only a limited number of criminals and terrorists, so the police can only argue for so much money. But if the police can successfully create a whole new class of criminal in the shape of every single man in the country, they can get a lot more.
Governments benefit when there's disharmony. The more disharmony, the more badness that there is out there, the more that they can justify, the more the population are fearful, the more they want the governments to protect them, the more funding they give to the government. So the more crime and criminality out there, the worse it is for us, but the better it is for those in power. They benefit from crime. The police benefit from crime. It's wonderful. The more crime, the more jobs they have, the more money, the more funding they get, the bigger do they grow. The bigger do their departments grow, the higher up the ladder they grow, the more important do they become. So they stir it up. They want a war on drugs. They want domestic violence. They love domestic violence. It gives them something to do. But it doesn't. It's of no benefit for the rest of us.
Could you imagine being locked up for the night because you had an argument with your wife?
This is a minor case. The woman hasn't been hit, but the man has caused damage in the house and has been threatening. The officers decide they must take the husband away to avoid any further problems during the night.
Not going to leave him here with you tonight?
No.
So we're going to remove him and take him to the police station?
This is the power the police now have. It boosts their arrest statistics. With more crime comes bigger budgets, higher salaries, more police officers, and shinier cars. Domestic violence is fantastic for the police, because every single man has become easily arrestable, not because of his behaviour, but simply because he's a man.
The police are also very politically correct. The senior officers at the top, by and large, if they're not politically correct, they don't rise any higher.
The statement that domestic violence was rubbish work for the police was undoubtedly that man's Jerry Maguire moment.
The answer was fewer clients, less money, more attention, caring.
Came here to let you go. You said fewer clients, you put it all down on paper. Jesus Christ.
If their primary function isn't to take care of themselves, they will be defeated by organisms whose primary function is to take care of themselves. Two politicians competing within their own party to rise in their ranks. The politician who serves the organism, his party, the most, is the one who's going to rise higher. And this is why the people who get to the top in political parties are always the ones who benefit the organism of their party the most, rather than the ones that benefit the people the most. And I think that we should always be aware of this. If you imagine two political parties, one which is always honest, where the politicians always tell you the truth, they explain the mishaps, they express their doubts, that political party has no hope. Not in comparison to a political party that lies, cheats, swindles, serves itself, keeps everything under the carpet. That party will beat the honest party by a mile, which is why honest politicians, they never rise very high. Honesty doesn't get you anywhere in politics. Serving the organism of which you are a part gets you somewhere. We have created systems whereby those who are honest have no hope of rising high within them. And I think that's important for us to all be aware of.